going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
20-17, Ohio State with the lead. Michigan in Buckeyes territory at the 45. Play fake twice. Back to throw. Deep ball down the right side. Open man streaking outside the numbers. Tan caught at the 5 to the pylon. And it's a touchdown, Michigan. Colston Loveland, the freshman tight end. Another big play for the Wolverines. And they regain the lead with 11:56 to play in the third quarter. Michigan 23, Ohio State 20. A 45-yard touchdown for the Wolverines.
He's got ice in his veins. You know, people always ask about, like, you know, how was he impacted us early? You know, his first touchdown catch was in the horseshoe at Ohio State. So, as a freshman, and a true freshman. So that was his first touchdown catch, and the next catch was the next week in the Big Ten Championship. So he was never a guy that wasn't going to be outworked, and it took him some time to get exactly how he was as a route runner and became what he is now.
Let's get back to more draft coverage with Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Sherrone Moore, Michigan head coach, talking about Colston Loveland after the touchdown heard on the Wolverines radio network. Rami Makhlouf, Ant Herron with you here on day three, the last leg of the Scores draft coverage, taking you right up to Cubs baseball with pregame coming up at 2:30. Loveland, obviously the first round pick for the Bears. They go with Luther Burden in the third, wide receiver out of Missouri. In the second round, after a trade with the Bills yesterday, they had 3 second round picks. They go with Ozzie Trapillo, Boston College offensive tackle, and Texas A&M defensive tackle Shamar Turner with those other 2 second round picks. They moved out of the third and into the fourth, and then made another trade with the Bills today, trading number 109 to Buffalo for picks number 132 in the fourth round and pick number 169 in the fifth round. They draft Ruben Hippolyte, the second Maryland linebacker, with that fourth round pick. The fifth round is underway, and we have two picks already in the fifth round. Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, the edge rusher from Georgia, goes to the Vikings, and Cam Jackson, the Florida defensive tackle, going to the Panthers. So we are 8 picks away from the Bears pick at number 148, the 10th pick in the fourth round at number 148 coming up. We will keep you updated and let you know as soon as that pick is in. Ant, I've been asking for folks to call in all show long, and we just keep on yapping. You and I just keep on yapping. Let's get to some of these phone calls. Let's go right out to Chicago and Will, who wants to talk some Bears draft with us here on The Score. Will, what's up, man? What you got?
Hey, I was just saying, we tripping on them not getting an offensive lineman and another running back, but I'm sure this new staff came in and looked at everything that we had. And I mean, I think Ian Wheeler, a healthy one of him coming back. I like what he did is better than what we're finding like the fifth round as running back. And, you know, build on what they think they need. I think that this is a dog linebacker. We know we got 2 good linebackers, but when we go in the package for 3, we need all 3 of them to be like that, sideline to sideline. And that's why they move into TJ to the middle like that. But, you know, if I'm trusting in Team Johnson, I got to go ahead and roll with him. If, you know, when they pick good, they say this is Johnson draft. When they scratch your head, they say Poles is blowing it. So I'm gonna use a Bears term and say I think it's just a collaboration draft. How about that?
Yeah. And collaboration became a bad word for a little while. So hopefully being a collaborative in these efforts, hopefully that'll turn out to be a good thing if you see the type of results on the field that we're all hoping for. But, you know, Ruben Hippolyte is a good football player. It's a position where because it looks like the two main linebackers who get the majority of the snaps and having T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds out there, we know they're the big dollar guys. We know they're the three down guys. Now, what interests me with this, Rami, is the fact that Noah Sewell was drafted by the Bears just a few seasons ago. He was a five-star recruit when he came out of high school, went to Oregon, had some productive seasons, but towards the end, he just didn't continue to develop and ascend towards the end of his Oregon career to the extent that a lot of folks thought. So, I mean, he, of course, is just still very early in his career, just 2 years into his time in the league. But he hasn't emerged in the way that I was kind of hopeful that we would see Noah Sewell emerge. He's been a special teams contributor. No real big splashes on special teams either. But as far as really being a significant part of the Bears defense, that hasn't developed. I mean, Jack Sanborn, the undrafted free agent, that's the guy who just continued to get work and get time there. And then it turned into a situation where Kyler Gordon really had to be the third linebacker in a lot of the Bears sub-packages. So Noah Sewell, does this impact him in some way, having another draft pick? And it's not like this is a Mr. Irrelevant late seventh round caliber pick. This is a fourth rounder that the Bears saw real value in, an extremely athletic linebacker. So you do wonder then, if this is now a deeper linebacker room, what role can potentially Ruben Hippolyte emerge into? But it's not a position that a lot of us had on our radar for something the Bears kind of needed to go get. But we were talking about it right before the pick, just how they see the value of this acquisition as opposed to reaching for a running back, reaching for a tackle. This slot, do we see a guy who's got a chance to come in and contribute? Seems like they thought Ruben Hippolyte could be that.
I was listening to the Mully and Haw draft special with Olin Kreutz on my way into the station today, and Olin said that, you know, first two rounds, maybe three, he's thinking best player available and just adding talent to your roster. He said once you get into four and later, you're more drafting for need. Do you look at it the same way? And if you are, how do you, when you look at some of the needs that the Bears have, how do you see the Ruben Hippolyte draft in terms of drafting for need?
I think there's always that sliding scale to it because you know you want to draft the position. You know, there's no reason for the Bears to draft a quarterback,
right?
Obviously. You know, you want to draft based off a relative degree of need, but you also want to draft a prospect that you feel like is at least near that value of the slot that you're drafting them in. You know, I mean, if
sure,
they really loved Ozzie. Ozzie Trapillo. if they really loved Ozzie Trapillo in the second round, but that doesn't mean that he would have been, you know, worthy of that in the first round. I think to day three, that scale continues to tip in the other direction where you can go more to a spot that you really need added depth at, but you still want to look at the film and put these things on and say that, yeah, this is a guy that we think has a chance to actually come in and contribute. Or if we get a little bit banged up at a certain spot, that he can come in and perhaps bolster us and develop throughout the season. So, you know, you still have to factor both things in. I just think the scale just kind of continues to tip from one direction to the other the deeper you get into the draft.
Let's go back out to the phones at 312-644-6767. Let's go to the Earl, who's in Cicero, and now he's on the score. What's up, Earl?
You guys, you heard all those fans booing when they announced the Bears pick. That's because they were booing the Bears pick. A lot of reaching. I don't. This guy, the last draft pick there, the linebacker, a lot of people had him sixth round grade. What are we doing in the fourth round? We could use a running back, a safety, a left tackle. Loveland's been the only pick I think is going to – it's really worth it. I mean, even the wide receiver, there was a reason why he fell from the first round. A possible attitude problem. I mean, you guys, I just hope this draft doesn't come to bite us in the butt. We could use a safety too.
I think that's the safety position is a good observation because as of right now,
yeah,
you know, we don't know where things sit with Jaquan Brisker. Everyone's hopeful for his health, hopeful for his return, and he is as passionate and as physical as you could hope for his safety to be. But the concussions have obviously been a consistent issue for him there. So Kevin Byard, presuming he's back again as a starter for the Bears, then who's playing alongside him? Jonathan Owens had some nice moments. Elijah Hicks had some nice moments back there. Is either guy kind of the future for the Bears at the safety position? They might be asking a lot, and that's where you go to some of the conversation that Dennis Allen had with the assembled media about Kyler Gordon. Because Kyler Gordon's a guy who's really versatile as a defensive back, but part of what's made him special as a nickel is because he's so good at so many different things. But if they did specialize him in any one area, then where is his best spot, really? I mean, you know, you get a lot out of the nickel position when you use him as kind of that Where's Waldo-style movable chess piece, and that's what's separated Kyler Gordon from a lot of other defensive backs. But if you said, you know what, well, Kyler Gordon to be a full-time safety, could he pull that off and do that at a high level? Could that be the answer for the Bears, talking about maybe moving Darnell Wright from right tackle to left, even though he's kind of solidified himself there? You know, beyond that, we did hear Dennis Allen mention maybe trying to just find a home for Kyler Gordon. What does that end up meaning? What does that end up indicating? You know, I'll be looking forward to seeing. I find that a little bit fascinating. If they really do go about saying that Kyler Gordon isn't strictly going to be a nickel and they find him some home somewhere else, what does that end up meaning? I don't think that was a nothing when Dennis Allen mentioned that.
When he says Luther Burden slipped to the second round for a reason, I think part of the reason, I think this is some of what happened with Colston Loveland, with Tyler Warren getting more of the hype and attention, at least up until, you know, the last seven to 10 days of the draft. I think Colston Loveland started to move up and inch closer to Tyler Warren in a lot of tight end rankings. But I think it was a less productive year for him in his senior year at Missouri when talking about Luther Burden the third, and I don't know that you can necessarily put that on him. That whole program took a step back, and he didn't have the greatest quarterback play to work with as well. When you talk about, he said attitude problems with Luther Burden the third, and looking at Dane Brugler's his rundown on him, and a couple of things that come up in the weaknesses that maybe do point towards a quote unquote attitude problem. He says looks disinterested on some routes, and then two frustrating 15-yard penalties last year, including one for throwing the opponent's mouth guard in frustration. And then he had the introduction to the Chicago media last night, and I know you heard it, and I heard you and Grody's reaction to it. He didn't seem too thrilled. I'm going to give the kid a chance, man, and not immediately jump on the bandwagon of jumping to some sort of conclusion or making some sort of judgment about his attitude or mental approach to the football game. I think there are a lot of factors that can make a guy seem that way when, in fact, he's not really that way. And also, I really, really trust that you're putting him in the hands of Antoine Randall, who is not going to have a lot of patience or leeway for the type of nonsense that we're talking about here, Ant.
You would certainly hope that, you know, the opportunity to come in, if you feel like you've been discounted, disrespected, overlooked in the NFL draft cycle, like you mentioned, we'll get to some Shedeur Sanders conversation a little bit later. That's the most famous and prominent player in this draft cycle right now that just kind of continues to sort of fall by the wayside in his perception. But for Luther Burden, who expected to go in the first round, I'm confident he heard from a number of teams, and his representatives very likely heard from a number of teams that they would consider him in round one. So when that doesn't happen, there's obviously a level of disappointment with that. And like I mentioned to Grody last night after we played some of the initial Luther Burden audio from that first time, you know, meeting with the assembled media via Zoom, I mean, he didn't seem very energetic. For one, I couldn't have told you what Luther Burden's voice sounded like before hearing that audio, but he might just be a bit of a mild-mannered
right.
guy in
yeah.
his delivery on a consistent basis. But even if that energy level was out of character for him, if he seemed a little bit disappointed or downtrodden, I get it, but so what? I mean, like, you know, we'll give him the opportunity, certainly should at least give him the opportunity to continue to make a more legitimate impression as he's on the team, in the locker room, on the practice field, and just around Chicago and the Chicago media more often. Because this process leading into the NFL draft, when you've been building up toward this weekend for your entire athletic journey up to this point, you have no idea where things sit. I mean, you know, I mentioned this briefly yesterday. I mean, I went from thinking I was going to be a mid-round pick and then late-round pick, names not getting called, then I'm an undrafted free agent. And even at that point, so I signed with the Detroit Lions, and it was the same for me once I signed with the Lions right after the draft as it was when I finally got done, you know, sifting through various scholarship offers and choosing the University of Iowa. I just had this release of emotion. And I'm not a big crier, but both those times were two of the times I can remember just bursting into shocking tears afterwards at those points in my life, because there's so much that builds up to this moment you've had on this pedestal and been anticipating for so long. So, I mean, the very first time Luther Burden gets a chance to interact with the Chicago media, had you heard from the Bears? No. I mean, you know, he doesn't even really know how to anticipate
right.
or interact with the situation with Chicago, because the Bears aren't even a squad that he had really heard much from, apparently. So, yeah, I think we'll see. Maybe he's a malcontent. I have no idea, but I'm certainly not going to, you know, cast many aspersions or base much of a judgment off of the way he sounded last night.
That's not that unusual, too, by the way. I saw some people, you know, raising an eyebrow at that when he said that he hadn't had any contact with the Bears leading up to the draft. That happens all the time in the NFL right. draft. And yeah. and sometimes they just don't talk to a guy because they're like, well, he won't be there by the time we draft. And that might have been the case with Luther Burden III. Again, first round grade on most people's draft boards, third best wide receiver on some people's draft boards. I don't know that they thought they had a real chance to get Luther Burden if they weren't going to take him at 10 or trade later down into the first round and take him somewhere in the back half of round number one. But it happens all the time that they don't necessarily talk or spend a lot of time with these prospects who they end up drafting. They're drafting them because of what they see on tape, what they saw at the combine, what they saw in pre-draft workouts. They don't necessarily have to sit down with every guy that they draft and learn their whole life story. They're drafting football players, and they saw a football player in Luther Burden III.
And I see it too. When you look at the film, yeah. man, he is an electrifying presence in his routes and with the football in his hands. So I would think Bears fans should be pretty excited about Luther Burden and what he's going to bring to the table. Do they have what we all feel confident would be a starting left tackle out of this draft cycle? No, but they got a couple of playmakers there at the top of it. And you know, I had Tyler Warren listed, you know, for me, I saw him as the number one tight end in this cycle, but not a lot of separation, just stylistically, he and Colston Loveland, just different styles of players. And Loveland suits where the Bears are at on offense more than what Tyler Warren would have, as far as just what Ben Johnson wants to do in passing the football. And for Luther Burden, you know, they got another playmaker in here. And to me, the thing is, in drafting Luther Burden, my hope is that it indicates a degree of confidence that Ben Johnson and Antoine Randall have in their ability to keep Luther Burden on task. Because some of those concerns that are there with his maturity, focus, work ethic that ended up apparently knocking him out of the first round and still being available for the Bears with their second pick. As long as they can make sure they're getting the most out of him on a consistent basis, you've got a high-level playmaker on your hands right there. But we did hear the previous regime having similar expectations to be able to hold guys accountable, keep them on task, make sure all the details of routes and execution were going to be there. They didn't pull that off. Now, Ryan Poles is the holdover from an executive perspective, but the coaches are the ones who are with these guys day in and day out. So my perception of Ben Johnson, Antoine Randall, and many on this Bears staff is that they will be holding players accountable. They will be on them about details. So I would hope that Luther Burden will come in prepared for that, and they're going to be able to get the most out of him.
We finally have a conclusion to the Shedeur Sanders draft saga, Anthony Heron. He goes in the fifth round, pick number 144, sixth pick in the fifth round to the Cleveland Browns. They get Shedeur Sanders there. We got to talk about this whole Shedeur Sanders thing and how a guy who set the record for completion percentage last year and was a second-team All-American slips all the way to round five, pick six in the NFL draft. Anthony Heron, Rami Makhlouf, we'll get into that after a break. We also will take more of your calls, more of your text as we inch closer to the Bears' next pick at number 148, pick number 10 in round number five coming up. They are four picks away from the Bears right now, so we'll have that for you, as well as the discussion about Shedeur Sanders and more of your calls. All that still to come on day three of the Scores draft coverage with Anthony Heron and me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
With the 144th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado.
Listen to the reaction.
The reaction in the draft hall says it all.
Let's get back to more draft coverage with Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
And with you until 2:30, taking you right up to Cubs pregame, Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Herron, and you at 312-644-6767. We will check in with Chris Emma out at Hallis Hall before we get out of here as well. You heard it there, Shedeur Sanders taken by the Cleveland Browns in round 5. We thought we were getting close to the Bears pick at number 10 in round 5, number 148, but and we're still trying to figure out exactly what happened. And it says here on my screen that the Rams are now picking at number 10 in the fifth round, number 148. So it appears there's been a trade. We're efforting the details of that trade.
The Bears now move down to 169, I'm told by Sean Sears, my producer, on the other side of the glass there. So a trade has been made, still efforting all the details of it. Until we get those details, Ant, what exactly, in your opinion, happened with Shedeur Sanders, a guy who, like I said, set the completion percentage record his last year down there in Colorado, up there in Colorado, I should say, and second team All-American, first round talent on a lot of people's boards. He slips all the way to the fifth round, number 144 to the Browns. What do you think was going on behind the scenes for a guy to slide like that?
I think the simplest and most obvious aspect of it is that teams around the league didn't value Shedeur Sanders in the initial days of the draft. But the reason why is what I do feel like is maybe being oversimplified by a number of people, because, you know, whether it's the idea of folks not, you know, being concerned about dealing with his dad, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, you know, I don't know. Frankly, haven't had the impression that Deion Sanders has a bunch of bad relationships around the NFL. But
yeah,
apparently,
right.
You know, there's I think it's a reasonable curiosity for how outsized the personality is and how forthright all the media coverage of Deion Sanders has always been. Is it job security for whoever that head coach is? Are you wondering if Deion's going to be just, you know, champing at the bit, just waiting to step in and take your job if you end up drafting his son and things don't go well right off the bat? You know, could that be an aspect of it? Shedeur himself, plenty of reports out there about the interviews not going well, him, you know, quote-unquote bombing interviews with teams, reports of, you know, I don't know if it's Deion or Shedeur, their camp, whoever, talking about certain teams, they don't want to draft them. Something between a few weeks ago, like I'm just a couple weeks removed from coming back from Hawaii. We were out on the islands the first couple of weeks of
nice.
April. When I went over to the islands with my family, Shedeur Sanders was a top five pick. And then somewhere in the last 2 weeks, now he's a fifth round pick. So a lot of folks can sit here and act like this shouldn't be surprising or it's being overcovered, and it's, you know, just look at the film. He's not a first round pick. Well, where were you at a month ago? Where were you at 2 weeks ago? Because everything I was hearing was that he was perceived roundly as a first round pick. My evaluation of his film was that no, he's not on the same par with Cam Ward. He is not of the same caliber of some of the quarterbacks we've seen in recent years. And there are certainly some limitations physically to what he brings to the table. He doesn't have a plus-plus arm, but he's got enough arm strength. He certainly operated from within the pocket frequently and at a high enough level where, to me, I very much view Shedeur Sanders as a first-round pick. Who knows how things work out from there, but here in recent days, and I honestly just kind of still thought maybe it was a bit of a smokescreen, just where it felt like it turned so quickly here over the past week, let's call it week and a half. What went from, all right, he's definitely not on par with Cam Ward, so he's not in that number one discussion. All right, maybe he's not going to be number two. Well, is he lower in the top 10? All right, maybe the Saints have a chance for him at number nine then. That might be great for New Orleans. Wow, could he potentially be on the clock at 21 when the Steelers are going to pick? To, is he a first rounder? Now, the is he a first rounder thing that began essentially about a week ago, that to me was when I said, okay, that now we're just kind of getting into the phase of things where people are just wanting to push him down the draft board in the hopes that he'll be available. So this has obviously been, I guess the best term I can think of to come up with, it's been a rebuke of the perception of Shedeur Sanders as an NFL quarterback. What are the factors within that? I don't think there's any question. It's something beyond. I shouldn't say there's not any question. In my mind, I very strongly believe it's beyond the film, because his film is certainly no worse than Johnny Manziel's film was.
Right.
It's not the film that Baker Mayfield had, but in comparing the two, where there's questions about their maturity and curiosities about how they fit into a coaching environment and into the locker room, and is there enough humility to grind away and put the work in and some of those things, I get that. And I think those curiosities make sense, and there's some parallels there. But his film is not as good as Baker Mayfield's film was. But two different institutions, two different programs, leads them out of the doldrums, wins a bunch of games, puts up huge stats, extremely accurate and precise as a passer, countless late game moments where Shedeur Sanders leads Colorado back into the game, wins games for them, and in critical pinpoint accuracy types of passes at those times. And Colorado did not take the field as the more talented team the majority of those games. Yes, he had Travis Hunter, but he had a bad offensive line and no run game, and it was the Shedeur and Travis show, and they found a way to win games. So I think the resume is extremely impressive. I felt like the film was worthy of the first round. No one else in the National Football League apparently did. So I do still find myself at this point curious for what the other reasons are, you know, what the why is behind that. But right now he goes into a Cleveland Browns situation where Dylan Gabriel gets drafted a couple of rounds ago. He went yesterday. That was one of the names that folks said, like, how do you draft Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shedeur? Well, Dylan Gabriel, if he were 2 inches taller, he would have been a guy who would have gone at least earlier on day two, if not day one. He's diminutive in stature, and, you know, he's one of these guys who you're wondering physically, will he hold up in the NFL? But they've now drafted two quarterbacks into a QB room.
Yep.
It's got a bunch of question marks to it. So it's going to continue to fascinate a lot of people. I know I'm on that list, and I'm guessing you are too.
For a guy with you know, first round, borderline second round talent in a quarterback starved league to slip all the way to the fifth round, and I can't remember a slide like this, especially not for a quarterback, and I can't imagine what he must have done in some of these interviews or what happened behind the scenes that made NFL teams sour on him so much. Like, you remember the old Chappelle's Show Rick James sketch where he walks into Eddie Murphy's house and he just starts stomping on his couch? I feel like that's what Shedeur Sanders would have had to do for this kind of slide. Just walk into these interviews and run roughshod over these teams and you know, or tell them what he's gonna do when he gets there rather than what can I do to help you win. What could have happened behind the scenes for this kind of slide? I think the Browns got incredible value at the quarterback position to get a guy with first round talent in the fifth round, even if he's second round talent in the fifth round. And I don't know about you, I'm a big Kevin Stefanski guy. I trust him with quarterbacks to get the most out of them. I could see things working out for Shedeur Sanders depending on what it is that he did that caused this kind of slide. And I'm really, really surprised, borderline shocked by him slipping this far in the draft. We do have the details of the Bears and Rams trade as the Bears moved out of 148, their fifth round pick. They give that to the Rams. They get a sixth round pick at number 195 and then a fourth round pick in next year's NFL draft. So they move down to round six and get a pick in the fourth round next year. And I think this is what most Bears fans are looking at as the way that this draft plays out and the way that the Bears conduct this draft is, when are they going to get that running back? We spent a good portion of the show leading up to the first pick that they had here on day three talking about running backs and who they might go with. They just keep moving further and further down the board and deeper and deeper into that running back draft class or whoever it is they end up taking with what is their next pick at number 169. What do you make of this trade?
Well, I suppose we're getting to the point where perhaps Ryan Poles and the Bears feel like the value of the remaining picks for this year maybe just isn't suitable in the way where they want to just keep kind of staying on the clock here and just balancing how do we accentuate, how do we highlight the draft capital that remains for right now and continue to find ways to accumulate more draft picks for the future. There's that balancing act to it. It's an odd spot the Bears are in because they haven't won games here lately, but there is this continued perception, and I get it. Like, I'm at least a little bit guilty of it. I think the Bears are a good roster. They're definitely not a deep roster yet until proven otherwise. Like, I was just sitting with Javon Dexter over at Soldier Field a couple of days ago. He is a really impressive physical specimen on the hoof, and he definitely got better in year two, his second season, than he was as a rookie. But you want to see that continued growth going into year three, and he's putting the work in already. Some of the other Bears defensive linemen working with a guy named Brandon Johnson down in Florida, a pass rush specialist coach who gets guys together and works specifically on their pass rush mechanics and does so in detail. So Javon Dexter putting the work in to continue to refine his game and improve, but he is one of the peak examples of a player who, you know, some legitimate draft capital has been expended on, like premium draft capital in round number two, And, yeah, he had some sacks early in the season, but the true playmaking of Jarvon Dexter for the Bears needs to continue to take another step. And so just top to bottom, it's certainly a better roster with what they did on the interior of the offensive line, what they've done in adding Dayo Odengbo and Grady Jarrett to the defensive front. So it feels like a better team. It's still not a deep team, not as deep as you would hope it would be in year four for Ryan Poles. So how does that end up, you know, kind of manifesting itself in the way they're massaging the draft right now? You know, this year and next year, you still want to have some draft capital available to continue to acquire more talent. But now I hope the Bears are still looking at this, recognizing that there's a lot of work to do. And I'm sure they are, because as of right now, it's a team that, you know, I don't look at and say that that is a, you know, a roster whose depth is really going to be able to allow them to be a big threat late in the season when attrition has set in by late in this coming football season, unless you do really see some of these other players who are just in their first few seasons in the league, if they start to take a more considerable jump.
We'll hear from the Bears' latest draft pick, Ruben Hippolyte, Maryland linebacker taken with what ended up being their only fourth-round pick. They had two fourth-round picks coming into the day, but their only fourth-round pick, and we'll hear from Ruben Hippolyte coming up in just a few minutes. But let's get back out to the phones, and let's go to Ron, who's in his car, and now he's on the score. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, what's going on, Big Ann Heron, Ronnie? Way the Bears is drafting, do you think that they're trying to pick up a free agent veteran or maybe a undrafted free agent in a running back position?
I think the
and
good thing,
out
Ronnie,
there available.
Right. That's the thing. I think that's the point to kind of focus on and remind ourselves of is that every offseason there are running backs who are out there that find their way back into the league and end up being really productive. And, you know, for the Bears to, however they view DeAndre Swift, we know he has been a productive football player throughout his career. He's not one of the elite running backs in the sport, but he's a playmaking running back. They have a competent playmaker at running back. So it seems that right now their focus coming into the draft was not how do we find somebody to supplant DeAndre Swift? How do we find somebody to sort of usher DeAndre Swift out the door? Their focus, I do believe, just, you know, thinking logically here, I don't believe they think that the running back room is set as it is right now. So to the caller Ronnie's point and his question, I would imagine then that especially as we've now gotten into the fifth round, very late in the stages of the draft, it won't shock me if they draft a running back, but they're not going to draft a guy who they think will come in and truly be a definitive cog in the offense this season, but they'll draft someone with some traits who they think maybe has that potential. So I would imagine that free agency would likely be a direction the Bears would end up going. That would be my guess to answer Ronnie's question.
Yeah,
what do you think, Robbie?
We got a couple texts to that end. One from the 847. Could it be that they are expecting another team to cut a running back because that team drafted a running back? This one from the 229 goes hand in hand with that previous text. Says with San Diego drafting an RB1, does J.K. Dobbins open up as a possibility in free agency? I don't know about Dobbins specifically or in particular or what the Chargers' plans are for him. But I think we all have to remember that it is what April. It's April, right? And the draft isn't the only way to acquire some talent and add somebody to that running back room. There are waves in free agency, and based on what they drafted or based on a contract situation, there will be guys that end up out there on free agency. And I think the Bears can go out and add some talent to that running back room in that way. And I think I have to remind myself of that, and that if they don't get the running back who can sort of share that load and complement DeAndre Swift here on the last day of the draft, they should still be able to add some quality talent to that position here before the offseason is up and they report for training camp.
I think that's certainly the thing to remember, yes.
Nick Chubb was another guy that I know a couple texters and callers have brought up. That's another name of a veteran running back who could be brought out.
The Browns have had an interesting draft because they've drafted multiple running backs despite reports that they've been in conversation with Nick Chubb and maybe bringing him back. And now they've also drafted two different quarterbacks when they have the most guaranteed money that's ever been invested in a quarterback. that was invested in Deshaun Watson. They've done that at QB. We know he's not going to be the starter this coming season, coming back from injury anyway, but it's a QB room with multiple quarterbacks taken, and it was already a really intriguing and fascinating QB room. And then the Nick Chubb conversation that happened recently, apparently, but then now they've drafted multiple running backs as well. So Cleveland and their draft, it's in a unique process right now. I wonder what Browns fans think about it.
That's Anthony Heron, Score Football Analyst. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We're with you right up until Cubs pregame at 2:30. Like I said, we will hear from the newest Bear, Ruben Hippolyte, the Maryland linebacker drafted in the fourth round. That'll come up in just a few minutes. And Chris Emma, our Bears reporter, will join us live from Hallis Hall coming up at 2 o'clock. All that's still to come, and squeeze in a few more of your calls and text at 312-644-6767. It's day three of the Scores draft coverage, and back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Score.
We're back with more draft coverage with Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Heron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
With you until 2:30, taking you right up to Cubs baseball. By the way, Cubs making a trade today. The Bears making two trades. The Cubs made a trade today. That is breaking news, technically. And breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Gage Workman goes to the White Sox for cash considerations. That's in addition to two moves that the Bears have made today. Most recently, making a swap with the Rams, trading out of number 148 in round 5 to the Rams for pick number 195 in round 6 and a 2026 fourth round pick. That was after earlier in the day making another trade with the Buffalo Bills, who they traded with yesterday to acquire an extra second round pick. They trade their fourth round pick number 109 to Buffalo in exchange for picks 132 and 169 in rounds 4 and 5 respectively. With the one draft pick that the Bears did make today, they went with Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker out of Maryland. He met with the Chicago media just a short while ago out at Hallis Hall.
Hi, Ruben. First of all, congratulations and welcome to Chicago. I just want to get your thoughts on the whirlwind of emotions that I'm sure you're feeling right now and the excitement that you have in you.
I mean, it feels great. I took a visit to Chicago. It was a great visit with everybody there. I love the staff there, and it was just great. They showed a lot of great hospitality, and just being at Chicago felt like home for me. So, you know, just getting that call was great. I know what to expect. I know I put my best foot forward, and I just appreciate everybody in that building for believing in me. And I'm going to do my best to bring a Super Bowl to Chicago and help out in that regard.
Ruben, do you have a sense on why you didn't get invited to the combine?
I don't got a sense at all, man. The only thing I did was just decide what I was going to do, and that was just capitalize on my pro day, make the best of that opportunity. And then, just kill it on the visit and on the Zoom calls and everything that I had throughout this process. And I feel like I did that, man. I put my best foot forward. Like I said before, I have a great team around me. I have a great support system. So they all helped me throughout that process. And, we're here now. I've been definitely blessed for this opportunity. Definitely going to make the most of this.
What was your reaction when you got your time at your pro day on the 40 and obviously put a number with what the speed showed up on tape?
Yeah, I mean, I expected it. I expected to run that time. I trained with Otto Bolden. I trained with Test Academy based out in Jersey. So Kevin Dunn and his team and Otto Bolden was our speed coach. So, I've had a lot of talks with him about what I wanted to do and how I wanted to perform in that aspect of the pro day. And he helped me reach all those goals, along with, you know, the nutrition and the weight program with JT. So, and then in the drills too, working with Chad Wilson down here in Florida, and just putting a great pro day together. So, you know, obviously the 40 was a highlight of it, but I feel like it was a combination of everything I did, you know, during the workout, and that really propelled me throughout this process. And then, you know, just taking advantage of the meetings and interviews. So, like I said, I expected to run out of time. You know, I'm glad I was able to, you know, display that for everybody who was watching.
Did the Bears give you a sense of where you fit in linebacker, whether it's middle or strong or weak?
Yeah, man. They told me that I could fit anywhere. They definitely told me that, you know, my ability to cover and my ability to run is a great asset that I have. So I'm just looking forward to getting in with the coaches, getting in. I'm behind some great vets with TJ Edwards and Tremaine. So, you know, I got great vets in the room that I can learn from and soak all the information in. Just looking forward to earning my keep, man, earning the trust of the guys in the locker room, earning the trust of the coaches and all the front office people, and just, you know, continuing to perform at the best of my ability. And get in there and get to work, man. It's all about the work now. So, you know, all the process that I've been through, I've completed, and now it's time for the real work. So I'm excited to get up to Chicago and just excited to get started.
Ruben, how do you say your last name?
Hippolyte.
Hippolyte. All right. And the scout we just talked to here said you really seemed to hit it off with the coaches when you were here on your visit, that they loved you. What do you remember specifically about those interactions and why it went so well?
Yeah, just meeting with DA. It was great. Meeting with the linebackers coach as well. You know, he broke down a lot of my film, and he's really in depth with me as far as how he's going to work with me to help me be the best player and maximize my game. You know, throughout autumn and all the interviews and all of the meetings that I had, it was just great all around. I meshed well with everybody in the building. That was really it, man. But definitely Chicago was a highlight of my visits that I went on. I went on a lot of them, and I'm glad that they got me.
Ruben, when was the visit?
This was early April. So I think it was like that first week of April. I went up there to Chicago. So it was one of my first ones after my pro day.
When you were trying to kind of sell them on who you are, what were some of the things that you wanted to get across in terms of what kind of player they'd be getting?
Yeah, that I was a smart player, that I knew my defense in and out, that I could talk ball at a very highly effective rate. Just wanted to get across to them that, you know, obviously I have the speed to play this position, and I have the ability to play this position, and just really, you know, talking to them as far as my scheme, how I could fit into their scheme. Just having a great time all around, meeting with all the coaches and all the front office people and all the staff. It was just great meetings all around, man. So I love the visit. And like I said before, I'm just glad it got. I'm kind of speechless a little bit because it's kind of surreal, and it still feel real a little bit. But you know, I'm just gonna enjoy this moment. You know, a lot of family here, so just enjoying everything, every last part of it.
There's Ruben Hippolyte, the Maryland linebacker drafted in the fourth round at pick number 30 in that round by the Chicago Bears. And I don't know if you took away the same things I did. Sounds like he had a lot of contact with the Bears and he knew it was a possibility that they might be the team to draft him. Also sounds like he thought he was going earlier and felt like he slipped a little bit lower than where he thought he might in the draft. But, and I'm not saying one way is the right way and one way is the wrong way. I feel like his reaction to that disappointment, if you want to call it that, really different than what we heard with the Bears' second round pick and Luther Burden the third. He sounded a little bit more, I don't know, upbeat about it and just ready to get to work and prove people wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by comparison between the two, and again, I don't know exactly why, you know, Luther Burden sounded the way he did. Maybe he's just a low-energy guy when talking to the
sure.
media in
yeah.
general.
Yeah.
I've gotten to interact with Ruben Hippolyte a good bit over the years during his Maryland career. I've called a bunch of Terps games in recent years and interviewed him on television and radio. So I'm not surprised he sounded like that. That's just who he is as a leader. He's got a presence about him and, you know, an extremely swift and remarkable athlete for his build also, as I was talking about earlier. But, you know, I mean, who knows? Like, we had the first round pick that went to the Steelers, Derek Harmon, another guy who I've followed his career closely because he played most of it at Michigan State, called a number of his games there. He finished his career this past season at Oregon. And then the very night he gets drafted by the Steelers, he goes to the hospital, and his mom had been in intensive care, and his mom dies, you know, shortly after that. So we have no idea what's going on in Luther Burden's life right now.
Right.
Maybe everything's lovely, and he just, you know, just wasn't that plucky at the end of the very long pre-draft process. In the end, you know, we're going to judge Luther Burden on what he does on the field. But for Ruben Hippolyte, yeah, he has been one of the spokesmen for Mike Locksley and Maryland football in recent seasons as their program has gone through this rebuild that Mike Locksley has been able to lead them on in his time with the Terps. And Ruben Hippolyte has been a big part of the reason why. And for their defense to be the spokesman for what they're doing on that side of the football, they put a number of defensive backs into the NFL in recent years. And the front seven on defense has become more and more formidable against the run and rushing the quarterback. And Ruben Hippolyte had a number of different roles within that Maryland defense, but the most important one was that he was their main leader. He was their alpha. He was their spokesman. He was the one directing traffic and, you know, stemming and getting everyone lined up, audibilizing. So, you know, the Bears have got a guy who's got a very – when you ask me for a comp, they don't necessarily have a comp at linebacker for the stature with that type of movement skill. But as far as just a guy who will bring the attitude that the Bears look for, the professionalism that the Bears look for, that's why TJ Edwards was the name that came to mind for me, because it just in the approach that Hippolyte will take day in and day out, he's going to fit right in with TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, with that linebacker room. Because if nothing else, while Tremaine Edmonds, you know, a lot of us have certainly hoped for a little bit more from him for the money that the Bears have paid him. But as far as just being the guy who can show up and be accountable and put the work in every day, and Tremaine Edmonds has really been a great example for that also. But I think that's where Ruben Hippolyte will fit right in that meeting room with those guys.
Sitting 10 picks away from the Bears' next pick, number 169 in round 5 of the NFL draft. Packers on the clock right now with their 5th-round pick at number 159. We hope we'll have that pick for you before we make way for Cubs baseball coming up at 2:30 here on The Score. After a short break, we'll head out to Hallis Hall and check in with our Bears reporter and point man for all this draft coverage, Chris Emma. He joins Anthony Heron and me, Rami Makhlouf, on day 3 of The Score's draft coverage right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.